We are in week two of the summer series looking at the life of Peter to boldly go. So a 1 minute recap on last week for those of us that weren't here. This picture says it all really. This is Jesus by the water surrounded by boats and fishing nets. And that is where Peter was when Jesus called him to be a disciple. He was an ordinary working bloke. And Jesus said, "Come and follow me." And that completely changed his life. So last week we had Peter being called. So Jenny is going to come and read us our Bible reading. It's not from the version that's in your pews, but if you do want to look it up, it's John chapter 13.
Just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world to go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. It was supper time. The devil by now had Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, firmly in his grip, all set for the betrayal. Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe and put on an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his apron. When he got to Simon Peter, Peter said, "Master, you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will be clear enough to you later." Peter persisted, "You're not going to wash my feet ever." Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing." "Master," said Peter, "not only my feet then, wash my hands, wash my head." Jesus said, "If you've had a bath in the morning, you only need your feet washed now and you're clean from head to toe. My concern, you understand, is holiness, not hygiene. So now you're clean, but not every one of you." He knew who was betraying him. That's why he said, "Not every one of you." After he had finished washing their feet, he took his robe, put it back on, and went back to his place at the table. Then he said, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so. That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, wash your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again. So, I'm going to be talking about that story. But just before I start, I want to ask you all some questions. So my first question is, if you were king for the day, what would you do? I've got a microphone if someone wants to go around. If anybody's willing to run around and get some answers. Thank you, Steve. A national day of prayer. Ooh, that's a very holy answer. It's a very church answer. Well done. Okay, so what about if you had power over everything, but you had to use that power to show your best friends that you loved them? What might you do? A massive party. Sorry? A world tour. Oh, that would be fun. Yep.
Tell them the truth.
Ooh. That might be a bit dicey, you have to see. Anybody else? Any ideas? No, I think everyone got excited by the party, so we're all going to be Maggie's friends now. So that was the job that Jesus had been given. He had been given power and authority over everything. And in this section of the book, we see him using that power to show the people that he loves them. But he does it in a very strange way. Because not only did Jesus have power and authority, and not only did he love his disciples, but he knew something they didn't. He knew that he was about to die. He knew that he had power. But Peter didn't know. Peter didn't know what Jesus was doing, but we do. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go back to the Father, John says in verse 1. Jesus knew he was going to die. Jesus had always known the job that he'd been given when he came to earth and why he was doing all of the things he was doing. If you read the Gospel of Mark, you see regularly the words, the disciples did not understand. But Peter and the disciples didn't have that knowledge that Jesus had, the reason that he'd come to earth. John makes very clear at the start of this passage that this is a new moment for Jesus, a new section of his ministry. His teaching and the miracles that he was working have finished, and he's now building up the disciples in knowledge before he dies. There's a clear distinction. This is what it's all been working towards. This is what it's all been building towards. Jesus is going to die, and he's spending his last few hours with the disciples, making sure that they know the most important things that he can teach them. To love one another, to serve one another, because Jesus loves them. And how did Jesus choose to teach them this? What did he think was the best method for showing the disciples how to love each other? Well, he got up in the middle of a meal and he started washing their feet. People regularly had their feet washed at that time. Having lived in Asia, I can tell you it's justified. The roads are very, very dusty. It's boiling hot, so you wear sandals all the time. And you walk into someone's house and you can just see dust flying off your feet everywhere. There's nothing in this passage to say that that hadn't happened when the disciples got to the house. There's nothing to say that they hadn't already had their feet washed. So we can probably assume that their feet are clean as they're relaxing and eating this meal. What Jesus is doing here isn't fulfilling a physical need that the disciples have. He's doing something above and beyond. He's showing them the extravagant love that God has for them. Doing something over and above what they need because he loves them. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. This means Jesus knew that he had power and authority over the entire world. We see that if we look back through the first half of the book of John, we see everything coming under Jesus' control and authority. Sicknesses are healed, the elements are controlled, the dead rise at Jesus' command. Not only that, but the disciples, Jesus' followers, were also under his authority. He was their teacher. He could have commanded that they worship him. He could have made them serve him. He's God and they're his followers. He could have said to the disciples, I'm going to teach you about service. So go grab a bowl, get a towel, wash my feet. But he didn't do that. He didn't even tell them what he was doing. He just got up and did it. He served them because he loves them. Unlike Jesus, Peter did not know what Jesus was doing. He'd been with Jesus for 3 years, but he didn't understand fully what Jesus was doing. As we look at the life of Peter, we can see that he was somebody who spoke first and didn't always think about the consequences of his actions. He loved Jesus and he would do anything to follow him. He was one of Jesus' closest friends, but he didn't always think before he spoke. So it shouldn't be surprising that it's Peter that speaks up in this moment. That it's Peter that says, no, no, you can't wash my feet. Washing someone's feet was the job of a servant, not the master of the community. When Jesus got up in the middle of the meal, the disciples won't have known what was happening. And when he started washing their feet, they will have been filled with confusion. Leave it to Peter to be the one to voice that concern. Jesus knew why he was doing it. He knew that he was doing it to show the disciples what they needed to do when he was gone, to show them what true humility and service are. But Peter didn't know. Peter didn't know that this is what Jesus had come to earth to do, to serve. Peter didn't know that Jesus was preparing for his death. In fact, Jesus says this to Peter, "You do not understand what I am doing." Jesus assures Peter that in time he will understand, and he did. When Jesus had been resurrected, when the Holy Spirit came to earth, the disciples finally understood all that Jesus had been doing. And we'll see in the next few weeks the way that this teaching impacted on Peter's life as he followed Jesus after Pentecost. But I just want to take a moment to think about how often we misunderstand what Jesus is doing, just like Peter did. How often do we miss it? How often do we think that we know better what God should be doing? How often does Jesus look at us and say, "You don't understand what I'm doing, but later you will understand"? Peter refused Jesus, but Jesus told Peter that they wouldn't be friends anymore if he didn't wash his feet. That seems like a very dramatic response. But Jesus is preparing the disciples for his death. He's warning Peter, "If you do not accept the things that I will do for you, you will not have a relationship with me when I return to the Father." Peter did accept Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and Jesus washed all of the disciples' feet because he loved them. Unlike Peter, we do know what Jesus did. We know why he washed their feet. We know what he was teaching them, and we know the true gift that Jesus gave us, his death on the cross, and an opportunity for a relationship with God. We know that Jesus washed the disciples' feet as an act of service, and we know the command that he gave them when he'd finished. "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." We know these things. We know what Jesus did, and we know the call he gave us to serve one another in humility as Jesus served the disciples. Jesus humbled himself to death. He had the power to do all things, power over all things, and he washed the disciples' feet before he died on a cross because he loved them. And we should serve those around us too, because we love them, because we love him, and because he loves them. He calls us to show people the love that he has for them. That doesn't mean we have to literally wash people's feet, but there are many ways that we can serve those around us and show them the extravagant love that God has for them. We could bake a cake for somebody that we know has had a bad week. We could send a card to a person that we haven't seen for a long time. We could do the washing up after dinner. I've spent the last week at Naturally Supernatural, and Mike Pilavachi spoke about this passage, and he summed it up with these words, and that's what I'm going to finish with. He said, "It's not about the love of power. It's about the power of his love. And the power of his love comes with a towel."